Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
I know your name.
Yeah, because I wear a name tag.
Thanks for that.
Yes.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And let me just say, Cheers ranked one of TV Guide's 50 greatest TV shows of all time. It aired for 11 seasons between the years 1982 and 1993. 26 Emmy Awards and 4 Golden Globe Awards.
Deserved.
Absolutely one of the best shows on TV. And now it's coming to the stage.
Right. I told Shelley Long at the end of the first season, you don't need this. Get out of this. This is a waste of your time.
Well, we are going to get to see Cheers live on stage. It's it opened Wednesday night at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place over on Chestnut. And in the studio with us right now is Carla Tortelli.
Hello.
Hello. Actually, she's Sarah Sirota.
Yep, that's right.
And Nam, how's it going?
Nam. Hi.
Norm Peterson, played by Paul Vogt.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm sure you both watched this growing up. Is it surrealistic to be on stage playing the characters that you knew so well for so many years?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's such a treat. I mean, you see these people and you grow up admiring them, wanting to be in that bar with them, and to get to be on stage with everybody, bringing them back to life is such a treat.
That really, like, was, I know I was younger when Cheers was on, but it was so nice to go to a place where people knew your name, where you always found a friend, you could go there by yourself, and Sam Malone was hot.
Oh, he was, and he still is.
Yeah, he is.
He's,
yeah,
he's our not Grayson a bad looking Powell.
Yeah,
he's
our Sam Malone's not bad looking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the best looking in the show.
Well, obviously, so that, you don't need to point that out, Paul.
I know. It's radio.
What's the challenge in translating this? I mean, it worked so well. We know it as a TV show, but what about that transition to stage?
The good thing is the writing from the show. Mm-hmm. Eric, who adapted the show, they took storylines from only season one because mm-hmm. there was so much to pull from. So they focused on season one. So as an actor, we're saying Emmy Award winning lines in comedy and stuff. So you dive into that and it takes care of you. Mm-hmm. The other aspect was not doing impressions, but bringing the essence of the character so that the audience felt comfortable and we could all go for this ride, but we're not trying to do an exact replica of it. So it's got a great energy. And when you're watching it, you're like, oh my gosh, I remember, you know, mm-hmm. it just brings everybody. There's a life to it doing it live theater that is exciting and fun and makes you remember the episode. And you're like, oh, I think I remember that line. And so I think the slight challenge is not doing an exact impression, but I think we've all found that. We've found a really great energy and a good way of attacking this beast.
And I think another thing about it is that on the TV show, they had the camera, and the camera could control your eye and where it goes.
Sure.
And one of the wonderful things about stage is that you're seeing the entire bar always,
yeah.
everyone, where they are, every reaction. It's not the camera controlling who you get to see.
Carla's working. Carla,
yeah. when
she's
making those tips.
She is taking orders. We're serving real drinks up there.
Are you? Yeah.
So people are.
That was my first question. Will you be drinking real alcohol up there?
I drink the fake beer. I mean, otherwise I'd be on the floor.
Right.
But there is, like, I believe there's a VIP ticket that people can buy, and you can, at intermission, you get to come on stage and go on the set and have an actual real beer with alcohol.
That's cool.
And hang out on the cheer set. The set is
amazing
and gorgeous and elicits. When we first saw it, they had a curtain down. And when they played the music for us and the curtain went up and we all like cried like idiots.
Yes.
And then as actors, we wanted to get up in the playground and play.
Yeah.
So the set's gorgeous. The costumes are perfect.
Amazing.
It really does transport you back. But what she's saying about on TV, it's a two shot. It's a two shot. She has to, it's not a two shot. You're watching the whole thing. So her mm-hmm. and Coach and Sam are like taking orders and delivering. Like if we messed up a line in rehearsal, we couldn't just go back one or two lines. We had to go all the way back to the top of the
scene,
reset every bottle, every glass, and then start all over again.
Yeah.
You know?
What's so great about these stage shows with these old TV shows is just we all love nostalgia. We really do. Well, you mentioned something, Paul, about all of a sudden you go, wait, I think I remember that part, or I know what the next line's going to be.
Right.
That's what makes it fun and exciting.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's like we've had young, like 24-year-olds in Boston when we did the show. We had like a group from UMass come, mm-hmm. and they didn't know Cheers. which, you know, hurts my
soul. It's terrible. But,
those youngins.
Those darn youngins. But they didn't know the show, so they watched it as a play. So they were interested to see, who are these people? Who are these characters?
Yeah,
and
right.
They were laughing at the jokes. And by the second act, they were there. They got who everybody was. They wanted to see where it was going to go. They were Cheers fans.
Yeah.
And that. So it's you know, it bring anybody who has seen it, who hasn't seen it, you're going to get something out of it. You're going to fall in love with the Cheers world like we all did.
Because it's this experience of coming home, in a sense. Like right. Paul was saying about when the curtain goes up, or here in Chicago when the lights come up on the set, people applaud. When I come out as Carla and go, okay, I'm late, people start clapping. They go
They're
crazy.
Like,
and, you know, Paul walks out and everyone, the whole audience is yelling, Norm!
Oh, nice.
Because yeah, it's fantastic.
People know these characters, and the people who didn't get to experience the show growing up, they realize all of a sudden they're in this big family.
Right.
They're in this world of coming home that they're like, oh, I could hang with these people.
Yeah, Norm.
So. And you know what's going to happen after someone who's never seen the show, millennials, they will maybe search it out and try watching it from the beginning, because what a great show that was.
Yeah, and one of the great things about this show is that it is that first season where, you know, the entire two-act play is a condensation like water, but it's bringing together, you know,
like
maybe six episodes from that first season where every character is introduced.
Right.
You get to meet these people for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing that people are going to go back and say, I want to meet them again. Let me see them on TV.
You have the blessing, I'm guessing, of the producers of the show. You must. I mean, it's down to the details. So they're aware of you. They're on your side. They want the show to succeed, right?
They laugh the most.
Did they really?
They laugh the hardest. Yeah. I mean,
you mean like the Cheers, the original Cheers folks?
Yeah, the people who put it together originally.
Yeah, I think it would just be one night if they didn't get approval. Well,
they don't know we're doing this. They won't hear this radio
show, of course not. It's our secret.
But nobody listens to this.
I don't know
if you
guys remember years ago, somebody decided to put Cheers bars in airports all over the country with a fake Norm and a fake Cliff at the bar.
Oh, wow.
And the Cheers producers didn't think that was a good idea.
No, CBS has given their blessing for
this. Yeah, CBS is behind it. So, you know, and that's all the work they did before they even cast us.
Yeah.
But the producers and stuff have
had
all
those. Is it Glenn Charles? Is that the man's name? For some reason, that seems to be.
Yes. Yeah.
I know. You see it on the screen in your head. Yep.
Right,
exactly.
With old-timey guys from the 1920s holding beers.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jim Burrows.
Yeah, and Jim Burrows was the director.
Yeah.
Yeah, such an incredible show. I still remember, even though the show was a comedy, from time to time there were moments that grabbed you. The one that always stands out to me is when Diane decides she's going to leave for a little while but then come back. They have a conversation she does with Ted Danson, and then she leaves, and he watches her leave, and he just says real quietly, have a great life, and then they fade to black. And I was a kid watching this going, he knows she's never coming back. It's so sad.
Yeah, the writing's fantastic. I mean, we have, again, I think they pulled together a really interesting script. It's a play.
Yeah.
And we have a couple moments. They've left a couple of those kind of moments in because it was so smart. It would make you laugh, make you laugh, make you laugh, make you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like without, and you're like, oh, I'm thinking now. I didn't realize that was going to happen in this. Which is why it won so many awards. And it's such a joy to do.
And I think that this show in particular, you know, you're watching two people who come from very different walks of life negotiating a relationship.
Right.
Which is something we can all relate to in a sense. You know, these two people, I like them, but I don't know if I should go forward. Should I? Should I not? He's so different than me, but I can't help but be attracted to him. And
it was a love-hate relationship in the truest sense of the term, wasn't it? They loved each other.
Which was fun for us to watch, and I think it set up for so many shows that came after that.
Oh, like,
every show was looking for the oil and water couple. Who is, you know, who are we going to put on the show that's going to, we want them to get together. Oh, they're never going to get together.
Right.
No.
Fighting turns
because they did
on.
It so well.
Moonlighting.
Like Friends.
Friends.
Yeah, Friends. Mm-hmm.
Face the Nation. The list goes on and on and on.
It just goes on and on and on.
We're talking about Broadway and Chicago's latest production, Cheers, live on stage. More information next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Broadway in Chicago has another hit on their hands. It's Cheers, live on stage. It's playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. It just opened this past Wednesday. People are loving it. Two of the stars of the show, Sarah Sirota, who plays Carla Tortelli, is here. Paul Vogt, who plays Norm Peterson, is here. And everything's favorable. Everybody's very happy with what you guys are doing so far.
Phew!
So far.
In fact, we got a text that came over that said, took a group of 13 friends to the Cheers live show last night. It was such a fun performance, and everyone is absolutely loved it. Not a bad seat in the house. Go see it. How about that?
Oh, that's great. It's
13 people.
Yeah, it is a great theater, too. It's a great space for this show.
Mm-hmm. And this really is the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never been there yet. I'm going to have to go.
Yeah.
How about this? The tour starts in Boston. And I guess everybody knows by now that's where Cheers took place, is in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But your stay here in Chicago is longer than your stay in Boston. How come? What's behind that?
My personal thought is this is a comedy town.
Yeah.
They know comedy and they know theater. Mm-hmm. Like Chicago... It just embraces it. The Chicago people will go and see theater.
Right.
You know, you have Steppenwolf, you have the Goodman, all of that. And comedy is from Chicago.
Right.
I mean, other people might get mad at me, but I was on Mad TV for a few years, and we would come here and do the Comedy Improv Festival, and you couldn't walk down the street without somebody knowing who, even if we were on the show for like a week.
Yeah.
Because this, Chicagoans... know and love comedy.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're here. It's a little bit smaller theater than we played in Boston, which we kind of like as actors because we like the intimacy of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's another thing, you know, to get enough people to come and watch the show. You want to be here more weeks, but that's what I think.
And I think that also being here is a great litmus test for the show in a sense, because Boston has so much pride about Cheers. I mean, while we were there, we went to the Cheers bar
and had lunch, they had us over
and everything. But here in Chicago, I mean, you know, we're in the heart of the country. And I think that people, this was a show that was on for 11 years. People loved it. Hopefully they'll love it here too and create that same. The great thing about the Broadway Playhouse is that it's intimate. And
right. So
this is a show about home. It's about being where you belong. And that house creates that feeling on stage for everyone who comes to the show. So
I hadn't gone to theater in a long time. My son was in Legally Blonde at his high school, and I was blown away by the stage setup there. But then I went to see SpongeBob, the musical, and I can't believe what all the stage setups are. And you said the bar, the Cheers bar. It's
a working bar. I mean, during intermission.
It's amazing to me.
It's beautiful.
Drinks.
It looks just like the TV show. I mean, it's honestly, you will have an emotional response when you see it.
You can
like,
go around the set and go, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, stairs that go upstairs to the restaurant that was above them. We enter down the stairs because Cheers is a basement bar.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all there.
That frosty glassed window.
Exactly.
That you could
see. You're starting.
Yes.
You're starting.
Exactly.
What does that say, do you think, about our intellect where just a set of something, like you could see meeting a person where you go, hey, I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
Right.
But when you're just seeing a set, and in this case, it's a recreation of a set, but it still has such an emotional attachment. Isn't that interesting?
Well, the bar really was another character
in
the show.
Yeah.
And people have this attachment to that set. They applaud just seeing it. It was like this other character. And we have this great thing about our show where if you go to cheersliveonstage.com, you can apply to be an audience member on stage.
Oh, cool.
And you get to come backstage. You're put in 80s costume full out. And you become part of the show. You sit on stage. I serve you. You're up there with me and Paul and everybody else. And part of it. And that's, I think, what the bar does. It's another character in the show.
Yeah. That's very, very cool.
And it's also the theme song, too, because it came out, you know, there was a few years that theme songs were incredible. The Friends theme song. But the Cheers is one of those theme songs. So when they play that at the beginning and you see the bar, you're getting hit twice with emotional recall.
And everyone knows the lyrics, so I'm guessing they're singing along with that to some extent, too. Huh?
Yeah,
we have a little sing-along at the end, too.
Yeah. As actors, I know you're auditioning for new things all the time, but when somebody says, hey, you're going to play these iconic roles, how do you prepare for that? Like you said earlier, Paul, you don't want to do an impression, really, but you want to capture the essence. So what's going on in your head when you're auditioning for something you've seen for so long?
Well, for me, when I got the call for the audition, I went back and I watched Rhea doing her thing, and she was amazing.
Yeah.
She won four
Emmys for this.
Yeah.
She was, you can't touch her in a sense. And me and Rhea actually have a lot in common. We're both born and raised in New York. We're both under 5'4", you know, short girls with kooky curly hair. And so for me, this part was really a returning to my roots. It was about embracing everything that's kind of at the core of who I am, embracing my kooky curly hair, embracing that I mean, it was the first time in an audition where I was like, oh, yes, I'm 5'2½".
Play it up.
And embracing my true New York accent. And so it's a returning to my roots for me, bringing curly back, that kind of
thing. That's awesome.
All for you?
I've always wanted to sit on a stool and drink fake beer.
Right.
And this was like the last thing on my bucket list. So now I have nothing else left to do.
You can die happy.
I'm probably going to end it all. It's kind of a similar thing. I've actually know George Wendt.
Oh, you do, yeah?
Yes, we're friends and we've done a few shows together. So the audition, I did a video audition because I'm based out of LA and they are auditioning everybody in New York. And I knew the director, Matt Lenz, and he said, yes, send a video. And I went to do the video and I don't have a mug in my house. I don't have one glass with a handle.
Oh.
And I was like surprised by that, even though I've lived there for 12 years. I had no idea I didn't have a mug. And I'm like, it's norm. I have to have a mug of beer. Like,
right.
It has to happen. So we had two Boddingtons, which are really tall, you know, beers in the fridge from somebody had stopped over. And I took the blender carafe and filled it with the beer and stood there. And when they filmed me, I said, give me a beer, Sam. And they just handed me the blender carafe. And I would sip out of it. And at the end, I just said, it's a little light here. You want to top it off? And then Matt said, oh, my God, the blender thing was perfect. So I really got hired not because of my talent, but because my props were really funny.
Vitally important.
Which I
Gallagher is proud of you.
Yes. It's the Gallagher method, I believe, is what they teach now.
Exactly. Isn't it funny? They never showed George's wife, Vera, on any episodes. They never showed her. And then there's an episode where Sam Malone's brother comes for a visit, and he's in every scene, but you never see him. The crowd is always standing around him, so you don't
and
get
to see
him.
And that's in our show, actually.
That's both, that yeah, both things. We talk about Vera for a bit, and the Derek storyline is part of our show, and we do the same thing where you just like you see like the top of his head,
right?
Yeah. The actor plays and he has lines and he actually sings a little bit of a song, and because Derek was this super Wonder Man that Sam couldn't deal with, and that's it's a big part of the show. But we do the same thing. We don't.
Oh, that's excellent.
Show him. So it's really funny.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that the funny thing is, it's this time before cell phones. I mean,
right.
Back then in the 80s in Cheers, you could hide from people.
Yep.
Norm could hide from his wife, Vera, and say, oh, I'm not here.
Right.
Right. We say that in the show, like when the phone rings, who's not here?
Yeah.
You know? Carla can hide from her kids. You can't do that nowadays.
Right. True.
Someone's on your cell phone. It's like,
can't
get away. No secrecy anymore.
Yeah.
And Ranker.com does the best TV theme songs of all time. Number one, Cheers.
Yeah.
Of course. So
you hear those notes and it just starts.
It's beautiful.
Everybody knows your name.
Boom, boom. I hope you guys have a huge hit on your hands. I don't know how you could possibly miss. It's Broadway in Chicago's new musical, Cheers, live on stage. We've been talking to two of the stars, Sarah Sirota, who plays Carla, Paul Vogt, who plays Norm. You want to go to BroadwayInChicago.com. All the ticket information is there. Good luck, you guys.
I hope you guys see it.
Absolutely. I'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has coming up next on The Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.